name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The epistle reading for tomorrow from Ephesians is a very important one that describes very important doctrine. And it's often misunderstood, especially by those outside the church. So I thought I would speak of it today because I'll speak of something else tomorrow. The apostle says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of twain one new man, and so in making peace." Well, there's a lot of terminology here that we have to understand. Christ is our peace, that's easy enough to understand. We know that he came to bring peace to us, right? Although in one case he said he came not to bring peace but a sword, but that is in the context of battle against the temptations, against passions. But when he rose from the dead, the first things he said to his gathered disciples was, "Peace be with you." So Christ is our peace, that's easy enough to understand. But then it says, "Who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." What is this middle wall of partition? He goes on to describe that he abolished in his flesh, that means his manhood, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. So this wall is an enmity with righteousness. That is, we are incapable of becoming righteous, and to a large extent do not desire to become righteous without God intervening and fixing the human condition. So by the incarnation, he took the law of ordinances, which is really just a description of the righteous man. It is not things that must be done or else we go to hell. It is a description of what righteousness is. That's why we follow, even to this day, the Ten Commandments. And of course, the Ten Commandments are summed up, and all of the law is summed up, including the Christian law, by, of course, the two greatest commandments, to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and the second one, to love your neighbor as yourself. So Christ made it possible for us to no longer have this enmity with righteousness, this inability to become righteous. He made in himself of two one new man. That is, the man that was against righteousness and incapable of righteousness, even if he was in favor of it. That is the Old Testament man, the man before Christ. And the man who would become righteous, the man who would love God and become perfected, which is the New Testament man, the man after our Lord accomplished all that he had come to the earth to do. That's what the Lord did. He made it possible for us to become righteous. And also, for that matter, to desire to become righteous. The person without Christ does not have a full desire for righteousness. They might be a good person and patient and compassionate, but there are things missing from them that keep them from knowing God. Only when Christ fills the heart and the Holy Spirit directs us can we know God. Can we become what we were predestined to become? And so he says, after talking about the enmity and the commandments and how he has abolished this enmity, he said he might reconcile unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So his accomplishment on the cross is described here. For those of us who were not Orthodox all of our lives, we can see... It's okay. We can see that this is not a doctrine that is well understood by many outside of the church, because they take this the idea of Christ on the cross, meaning that he offered himself as a sacrifice to his Father because his Father required death and justice for the infinite affront to his divinity that man did by his sin. But this is not what this scripture is saying. He's saying he's reconciling man who had enmity with righteousness unto God by slaying the enmity. So what happened on the cross was God, the God-man Jesus Christ, healed us. The cross was a healing instrument, not an instrument of punishment. It was used as a healing instrument. Of course, it appeared to the Jews that they were punishing him. And it appears to many people to this day that Christ was accepting punishment for our sins. Yes, indeed, he offered himself to his Father. And yes, sin requires death. But the Lord did much more than just die on the cross. He caused our healing on the cross. And that is that aspect of the Lord's work on the cross is really, as far as I can see, only well understood by the Orthodox. Usually, there are other aspects of what he did on the cross that are way overemphasized and talked about. And so, because the Lord did what he did on the cross and healed us, he healed our disposition, our will. He healed our nature so that we could become righteous and desire to become righteous. It says that he came and preached peace to us, which were afar off, and to them that are nigh. The ones that are far off were the Gentiles. The ones that were close were the Jews, because salvation came from the Jews. Originally, the Lord revealed himself to the Jewish people, and then on to the rest of the world, the Gentiles. So that through him, we both might have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Then he describes something which I think we should take to heart. We should feel the incredible magnificence of these words, because they apply to us. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now a stranger knows nothing of those he is a stranger to. We were strangers to what? Strangers to God and therefore to righteousness. But now we are of the household of God. Now we can become holy and perfect. That is what St. Paul is telling us here. And it is a glorious thing. Glory be to God that we can become righteous because of what our Lord Jesus Christ did, not only on the cross, but also in all of his life, all of his teaching, and his rising from the dead, his ascending into the heaven in the flesh, his sending the Holy Spirit to us to teach us, to help us, to comfort us. All of these things were necessary for our salvation. And glory be to God, we now can become perfect. Now you can still see a vestige of this enmity, though, in your own life. Right? When you're lazy and you don't feel like praying, when you know that you shouldn't have a bad thought about someone and yet it still is there, when you know you should be doing something but you do not do it, when you know you should stop doing and yet you still do it. So there is still that weakness in our flesh. But God has slain that enmity. We just seem to go back to it sometimes. But it no longer is all powerful. We can escape from it. Glory be to God that we can. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and under the ages of ages.